Turn with me tonight to Acts chapter 4. I do want to explain how to pass out candy. Number one, you have to understand human nature. A little child passing by a booth and sees a bowl of candy, they're going to be shy. They want a piece of candy, but they aren't going to go to this strange table and get a piece of candy. But they want one. And so you got to make it easy for them. And they can have that piece of candy that they really would like. But then you have teamwork. I was working with the Savalas. I slowed them down by giving them candy, and they gave them the tracks. And that's how it worked. Otherwise, they were passing by so quickly, didn't have time. It was like you're, you know. So we had good teamwork. We had a lot of fun. It was a blessing. Do you like candy? Okay. You're not shy. A couple of people have just mentioned to me, a few people, about what are the keys to being a witness for the Lord? What are the keys to be a witness for the Lord? I suppose there's many things that we could say about being a witness for the Lord. You know, really every Christian wants to be a witness. I mean, I think it's almost impossible that a Christian who'd been born again wouldn't want to be a witness. I mean, everybody really wants to be a witness for the Lord. Many times, we find that, we don't really do what we would really like to do. As I thought about it, I thought about some great truths from the book of Acts that just give us some keys to being a witness for the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, we have the account of Peter and John, who had laid hands on a person, and he was begging for money, and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Well, I think that's like a lot of people around here. Silver and gold have I none. But, you know, we have something that we can give people, and it's far more precious than even what people are looking for. And this man was looking for something, but the Lord had something far greater. And it was not only the healing of his body, but eternal life. And of course, the authorities didn't like Peter and John and their work for the Lord and the effect they were having upon people and people getting saved. And we find that to be true. You know, it's not always desired by people who are religious and feel that their domain is being threatened. But as we find the disciples before the authorities, giving answer to the authorities. And let's begin reading in Acts chapter 4, verse 7. And they asked, that is, Annas the high priest, and et cetera, et cetera. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, If we this day be examined of the good deed done in the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that's what we want to be, bold. Here they were before the ruling authorities, religious authorities, and they were just right straight out with the truth and said it just like it was. And it says, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, uneducated men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Later on, verse 18, it says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, quoting Psalm 2. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. As we notice this passage, we marvel at the boldness of the disciples before the authorities, before those who had just recently crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And we notice that there are some definite truths that speak to us about the key to their boldness. Notice, first of all, it says, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Oh, in other words, they weren't people with slick answers. They weren't people with, uh, you know, all this learning and philosophy and all this, all the so-called right answers to talk to high and educated people and people in authority. It says they marveled and they took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. We see that they were transformed. Their boldness had to do with being transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were transformed by the person of Christ. They were transformed by being with Jesus Christ. And as they were with Jesus Christ, it took these ignorant and uneducated people and make them bold witnesses even before the highest of the land in such a way that the highest in the land even didn't know how to respond to them and how to counteract what they were saying. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. First John chapter 1. The introduction to the book of 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You think about that. Transformed by the Lord Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 42. The Lord said to Peter, thou art Cephas. That means unstable, vacillating, up and down. Thou art Simon, the son of Joseph. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. You're Simon. You're hot and cold, up and down, bold, and then a coward. You're going to be Cephas, bold, standing true, firm. Because he was going to be transformed by the person of Jesus Christ. I think it's a simple truth, but I think that what we learn here is that one of the keys to our boldness for Jesus Christ has to do with our fellowship with Him. Our fellowship with Him. Walking with Him. Learning of Him. Meeting Him, knowing Him, meditating upon Him, letting His person transform our lives. I remember one time a lady said to me, she said, no, Pastor, I know I should be a soul winner, but you know what? I don't really love souls. It was quite an admission. She said, I don't really love souls. I don't really care about other people. It really was... I was kind of shocked by her statement. But I meant, no, that she meant well by saying what she said. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, the Bible says here in His love, not that we love God, but He first loved us. You know, I said to her, I said, you need to think and meditate on the love of Christ for souls. You need to meditate and think about the love that Christ has for souls. And you need to spend time with the Lord Jesus and let Him transform you into a likeness of Him. And if we are transformed by the very presence and the person of Christ, we will be touched by the fact that He is a lover of souls. Don't you love the song, Jesus, lover of my soul? Aren't you glad Jesus loved your soul? But He loves other people's souls too. And so the disciples, they said, they took note of them. They said, you know the explanation of these people and the explanation of their boldness, of their fervor, of their passion is they've been with Jesus. You know, my homiletics professor in seminary, he was here a few years ago at whatever anniversary that was, 30th anniversary, Dr. Eugene Peterson. You know, now he's 90. He was here when he was about 85. But you know, I learned one thing from Eugene Peterson. I probably didn't learn a lot of things I was supposed to learn. But you know, I learned one thing from Eugene Peterson. Even at 85 years of age, I mean, he preached with passion. He preached with life. And you couldn't help but listen to him and believe that, he believed what he said and he had energy from God. He was preaching with passion. He had life in what he was saying. Boy, I tell you what, that makes a big mark on you. Passion. You know, when I went to seminary, same professor, Dr. Peterson, he basically said, you know, Ron, I can tell you went to Maranatha under Dr. Cederholm because I can just sense how Dr. Cederholm's person has affected your life. He was a personal friend of Dr. Cederholm. And he understood Dr. Cederholm's passion for truth and passion for standing for right and passion for being faithful to God and et cetera, et cetera. And he said, you know, I could tell you're like Cederholm. I never thought of it that way. But you know, the people that we are around make a mark on our life. And so we have the first great truth. The more time that we spend with the Lord Jesus, the more time we spend with Jesus Christ, the more time that we get a hold of and understand the person of Jesus Christ and recognize who He is, His passion for souls, His love, His mercy, His grace, His greatness. You know what? It's going to affect us. It's going to affect us. And you know, it's a simple thing. You know, I would say a simple thing for all of us is the more time we spend in God's Word will greatly reflect our passion and boldness to speak for Jesus Christ. Say, I want to be a better soul winner. Spend more time with Jesus. Spend more time in the Word. Spend more time in the Gospels. Spend more time in God's Word around Jesus Christ. And so, they were transformed by His person. Now let's go to the next thought. And this is related in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we see this other thought. It says, they said, now don't speak any more in the name of Jesus. Now I think some people would like that to be a law. Don't witness. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm out. I'm free. Don't have to worry about witnessing anymore. This passed a law that says I can't witness. No, what happened? They said to Peter and John, and they said, verse 18, don't you dare speak another word about this Jesus Christ. I don't want you to speak at all. I don't want you to mention his name. Don't even bring it up. It's against the law. And they said this. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge you, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I mean, there's nothing else we can do. There's no way we can stop talking about Jesus Christ. There's no way we can hold it back. They've been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what the Bible says about that, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. The key to that transformation. The key to that transformation. And of course, we're speaking tonight to saved people. We're talking to people who've been born again. And so, you know, we don't want to infer that the first point is not involved in this. But we're talking about born again people who want to be a witness for Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. What a great truth. It says, follow me. Now, you could say a lot of different things about that phrase, follow me. But you know, the simple truth here is, okay, follow me, obey me, do what I say. And it will transform you. You know, we have lost in Christianity, we have lost the transformational power of obedience. We have lost the transformational power of obedience. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fish, become fishers of men. Now there's the first step. You know what it was? Follow me. Decide that you are going to follow me. Now that's a big decision. That's a real big decision. Of course, we know the word follow me is the word, we're talking about discipleship, a follower. It's one of the key principles of the New Testament. But you know, there was a surrender of obedience. You know, we live in such a contemplative, psychological society that everybody is trying to figure things out. And they're thinking, now let me think here. You know, if I do this, well, man, that might, I don't know how will that work out. I don't know if that'll work out or not. Well, you know, maybe I should just take my time at this. You know, take my time and, you know, you don't want to rush into things. And, you know, you want to really be, think this through if you really want to follow the Lord or not. Maybe somewhere down the line, you know, no. It's not how it works, is it? The key of the Christian life is obedience. Obedience. Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. I think that verse we talked about, I don't know when it was, last Sunday night. It had been in my mind all week. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. What a wonderful truth. The blessing, the work of God takes place when we walk in the light, as we obey the Lord. You know, the biggest problem today is people hesitate whether they're going to follow the Lord or not, whether they're going to obey what he says. He says, follow me, and I will make you to become the fishers of men. The transformation of surrender and obedience. You know, there's transformation that takes place when we surrender to the Lord in any area of our life. But certainly, the Christian life, there's a transformation that takes place when we surrender. Hey, they said these people, they've been with Jesus. They've been transformed. How did they get transformed? Because there was a day that Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. You know, the devil has people paralyzed today. You know, they're paralyzed. They think, you know, boy, okay. I'm a Christian. I don't know about getting baptized, because you know, if I get baptized, really, if I do this thing right, I mean, there's a cost to it. Man, I don't know if I want to obey that cost. Boy, I tell you what, I mean, if I surrender to the Lord, you know, there's a cost. Oh, there's a blessing. You know what the blessing is? Follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men. That's a blessing. The devil is just trying to make everybody to get lost in the cost. Oh man, I might have to lengthen the hem of my dress. I might not be able to go to such wicked place that is hindering my soul. Oh, that'd be a terrible thing. Oh man, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to obey God. And you know what? And that's where this transformation starts. Just think, you probably experienced it, indecisive Christian. Indecisive Christian. How are they doing? How are they doing? I mean, we don't really want to reflect on that, but you know what I mean? Indecisive Christian. Know somebody that you love that's indecisive Christian? How are they doing? Not too good, are they? Not too good. But decisive obedience, decisive surrender. Think of what it says in Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. We talked about that. That what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now there we have. There's the beginning. There's the surrender. And then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, there's the obedience, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, there's the Word of God, there's the Lord Jesus, there is walking with God, there is letting God transform our life, and it starts by a surrender, it starts by an obedience, it sounds by giving ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. The transformation is really associated with obedience. Now, I believe that this is really important, that we need to come to grips with, does God want me to be a soul winner? We need to come to grips with, does God command me to be a witness? Does God want me to tell others about Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. And the key to being bold for Jesus Christ is surrender to God's plan for your life and mine. There is no way that we, as a real Christian, there is no way that we can have any real peace, real fulfillment, real joy in our life. It is impossible if we aren't submitted and to being a witness for Jesus Christ. You know that. I know that. And when we aren't a witness, we know there's something mighty big missing from our life. How does it start? Well, it starts by the transformation of surrender. The transformation of surrender. We have to come to grips and say, okay, Lord. And know this is a truth that not only is a truth about our life in general, but it's a truth about very specific times in our life. Because, you know, we get lax. We get, away from the Lord. We get busy in life. And we become less of a witness, and we become maybe even less and even less of a witness, and we see ourselves drifting from being what we ought to be. What do we have to come back to? We have to come back to base one. Lord, it's a matter of obedience. Lord, it's a matter of obedience. Lord, it's a matter of saying, yes, it is what your will is, and I am not where I ought to be in my spiritual life, and I know it, and my life has a certain degree of emptiness in it because I am not being a witness like I ought to be. Surrender. And just as in the Bible, that the surrender was the first big step to transformation. And you know, you're probably out there, some might be out there tonight, and you're saying, oh, yeah, I know. I know what he's saying, and I don't want to hear it because I know it's true, and I'm just not. I just am so fearful. I'm not going to surrender. No, I'm not going to witness. No, you have to surrender first, and then God will transform you. Amen? Now, Acts chapter 4, one other truth that we find here in Acts chapter 4. They've been told not to speak a word in the name of Jesus Christ. Not speak a word. And so what do? They go back to the disciples and they said, we're not supposed to speak a word in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, and when they heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. With purpose, one purpose. Lord, thou art God, and which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, and all these great things, talking about the prophesying of the opposition of Jesus Christ and the opposition of the rulers. And it's really coming to pass today in America. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Transformation by his power. Notice, first of all, there was no hesitation whether they were going to speak for Jesus Christ. No hesitation. But certainly, they sensed their inadequacy, didn't they? There's no hesitation whether they're going to speak for Jesus Christ. But there certainly was a recognition of their inadequacy. And their, in a sense, their fear But it was coupled with their commitment. And so with that, what did they do? They prayed. They prayed. They prayed. Thursdays or Mondays, when I go to Whitewater University, sometimes I have a lot of business to do on the phone, but I really need that half-hour drive. I need it. I need it so much because I know my fear. I know how I feel so unable. I sense my cowardness and timidness. And I just, oh, Lord, you got to help me. Lord, I need your power. Lord, I need your strength. I need you, Lord. I can't do this. I want to do it. It's the most important thing in the world. I'm not going to turn back. I'm on the way to do it, but I can't do it. But with God's help, I can do it. With God's power, I can do it. You can too. The prayer, the plead for God's power only comes with the commitment to tell others. You say, they say, oh, Pastor, he's a great salesman. No, I don't really think so. I needed to be by that table yesterday. I didn't have much boldness in myself. I said, I got to do this. I need your help, Lord. I'm not good at this. Lord, help me. The word needs to get out. You know, you think about passing a flyer to someone. Oh, no, they won't want it. Talk to someone. Oh, they don't want to talk to you. We're transformed by His power. His power we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Amen. He is there to empower us. It's not who we are. It's what Christ wants us to be. It isn't, oh, I got this all figured out. I know how to do this. I have all the right words. No, we don't have all the right words. But God can give us the right words. It's a matter of faith. Okay, here we go, Lord. We're going to do it. They're transformed by His power. And they had prayed. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not us, it's Him. Now, if you think you're going to get the, remember, notice the setting. They were committed to do it. They were going to do it. And because they were going to do it, and they were on the way to do it, and they weren't going to worry about what happened to them, they were able to pray, and the Spirit of God strengthened them to speak. They were transformed by His person. Have we spent enough time with the Lord and His Word? What do you think? You know, if we have hot dog devotions, we're not going to have much spiritual power, are we? And His law doth He meditate day and night. I mean, this has to be, we have to spend time with Jesus. We need to be transformed. And that transformation has to start by surrender. Lord, you gotta work in my life. You got to give me a love for souls. Lord, you have to work in my life. There's got to be victory in my life over the world, over sin. I got to spend time with you. Boy, the world just can zap our power just like nothing, can't they? Boy, we have to spend time with Jesus. And then as we go, we can be transformed by His power. You know, for most men, it's pretty simple. The sign of our day, what it's going to be like, is what we do when we leave our room. And my dresser, I have tracks on top of my dresser. And when I put those in my pocket before I leave the room, that's kind of the beginning. If I don't put any of those in my pocket, I already defeated. I've already not committed. And probably it was a sign that I didn't pray about witnessing. It's probably a sign that the night before I didn't pray about it. A sign that, boy, I haven't been spending much time in God's Word as much as I ought to. You know, soul winning really has to do with who we are. There's nothing magic to it. It's what the Lord is doing in our life because we aren't soul winners. And we become soul winners when we surrender to say, God, this is your purpose for my life. And if I miss this, I've missed it. I've missed one of the main things. There's surrender. That surrender brings transformation. And that surrender is a lifestyle of obedience. Lord, that's right. I have to do it. And that just a multitude of other things that go along, right along with that. I mean, you know, why do you tithe? Because God says so. Why do you start tithing? Because God says so. Why do you baptize? Because God said so. Why do you read your Bible? Because God said so. Why do you live for God? Because God said so. Why do you separate from sin? Because God said so. A walk with God. And here's one little part of it. It's a big part of it. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, don't think that you can't be a soul winner. In ourselves, none of us ever will. We'll always be defeated. But in Christ, in His strength, we can be what we need to be. Transformed by the Lord Jesus, by His person, they said, they've been with Jesus. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. This Lord Jesus, He is so great. We can't stop talking about Him. Oh Lord, hear their threatenings. Oh Lord, hear their threatenings, Lord. Give unto Thy servants boldness that we may speak. And they did. A simple formula for you and I. Maybe tonight you need to go home and say, Lord, you know what? I need to be a witness. Maybe you've already done that. Then you need to say, you know, I need to spend more time with Jesus. If I love people like Jesus did, and he gave his life for souls to be saved, he had compassion on the lost. That is transforming truth. We say, oh, okay, I can't do it, but I'm going to do it. Lord, I need your power. Isn't that a great thing about Christian life? What do unsaved people do? I don't know how they can live. It is so great to be able to be a Christian and pray to the Lord and get his strength. Isn't that great? Man. You know, the world says, has all these labels for people. You know? They say, well, this person is this, and this person is this, and this person is this, and this person is this. And it's almost like a caste system, you know? You don't have any hope. But you know what? It doesn't matter who we are. It's what the Lord wants to make us. And his power is available to all of us. Now, if he can take an old introvert like Ron Roberts, he can use you too. But it's not us. I'm still an introvert. But I got something to talk about. But I'm still afraid, still shy. But the Holy Spirit can give us power. He can give us power. And that's what we need. Power of the Holy Spirit. Hope this will be encouragement to you tonight. To be a witness for the Lord Jesus. I hope you'll think about tomorrow. I hope you'll pray, Lord, send someone across my path tomorrow. Lord, give me power not to be afraid. Lord, give me strength to speak for Christ, to give him the word. Help me not to just beat around the bush, Lord. Help me get right to the point. Help me, Lord, to be able to talk about the real thing. And we'll come home rejoicing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight and the example we find in the word of God. How you took unlearned, ignorant men, Lord, and you made them bold witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make men who are ignorant, unlearned, and gave them wisdom. He gave them the ability to speak with words empowered by your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our lives. I pray that, Lord, for those of us, maybe we're all about the fact that we've always been shy. Lord, thank you that your power is bigger than shyness. Lord, all of us know enough about Jesus Christ to be bold for him. We don't need to know all the answers. We know the answers if we're saved. Enough to talk about Jesus Christ. And Lord, those things that are crippling your people, some sin, some lust of the flesh, oh Lord, might it be cast aside so we can have liberty and power. And so Lord, might you be glorified in your people. Lord, all we can be at the best is vessels. Lord, we hunger and desire to be able to give out your word. So fill your people with your Spirit, Lord. And whatever it is that you are speaking to them tonight, I pray you give them faith. I pray you give them obedience to go out with the Holy Spirit that dwells within them. And test and prove you, Lord, how good you are. And so might you be glorified. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe the Lord is speaking to you tonight about this very thing that you've lost sight of winning souls. You stop putting tracks in your purse. You stop putting tracks.